Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now back to Ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
Welcome back. It's 34 After. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you as always. If you just tuned in, glad you did that. Welcome aboard. If you've been listening already, we consider that a sign of a high intelligence. And you're going to be glad you hung out with me because we got our good buddy Steve Del Bianco back on the show. Steve's a longtime member of our Brain Trust and Vice President for Corporate Affairs at Association for Competitive Technology and the leader over at NetChoice.org. And he's our good friend Steve Del Bianco. Welcome back.
Hey, thanks, Jim. Great to be here.
It's good to have you back, as always. Steve, my audience knows that you and your organizations spend a lot of time working on national and international issues. One of the main things is to keep the Internet free and keep it as devoid of politics as possible. You worked hard especially around the world, to prevent the UN from taking over the Internet, and also on top level domain naming and all that, all those things that the you guys are working hard on that. But what a lot of people might not know as much about is how you get involved on the state level, and you've recently been going best two falls out of three with some folks up in Maine, haven't you?
Absolutely.
Tell us about what's going on and why the rest of us should care.
Yeah, some might ask. So, what did you do over your summer vacation? And well, I sued the state of Maine. I sued the governor and the attorney general over a law.
So you're off
had.
Their Christmas list. Is that what your Christmas card list, right?
I sued them over a bad law, an awful law. In fact, in August, NetChoice released our latest edition of the iAwful list. You have the iPhone. We have the iAwful. That stands for the Internet Advocates Watch List for ugly laws. So your readers and listeners can look at it at www.iawful.com. And number one on the awful list was this Maine law that took effect earlier this summer, which actually would have criminalized the collection of information from teens or marketing to teens, and we're talking people 17, 16 years old, without verifiable parental consent. And, listeners might say, well, that sounds like a great idea, but, you just can't do that online. You can't get a verification whether how old someone is online.
Mm-hmm.
And if in fact, they said they were 17, how do you verify that the consent of someone else who weighs in and clicks the yes box happens to be that person's
parent? So your goal was not to prevent them from catching the bad guys. Your goal was to prevent some honest and well-meaning marketing company doing their business online from tripping over some tripwire and getting caught in a snare of with some unintended consequences.
Jim, you've got it. And two elements on that. It isn't just marketing companies. I mean, think about it. I was joined as a plaintiff in this lawsuit by the Maine Newspapers Association and by the Maine Colleges Association.
Because, really?
Yeah, newspapers said that every day they run stories about athletes, kids in high school that are in Maine, and they run stories about them, which contains information about their health or maybe an athletic injury. And if they did so without verifiable parental consent, well, they would be violating this law,
right? Oh, so it got beyond just marketing; it just reporting the news,
and because it's transferring information.
And why were the colleges part of your plan?
Yes, they were, and the colleges had a great angle. They're really concerned because 17-year-olds every day in Maine go onto the websites of Maine colleges, and put their email address and name in, so the college can keep them notified of college visit days, on campus recruiting,
and they would have been in violation of this law, which is what I meant by unintended consequences.
You've got it right. And listen, if it were only the Attorney General of Maine that could bring a case against the company, I really don't think I'd have lost any sleep over this because, frankly, she's not going to go. General Mills is her name, Attorney General Janet Mills. She's not going to go after Bates College, a newspaper,
right,
or well-meaning.
She's going to look at it and say, "Okay, this is not who we were looking for."
You're right, but instead, early this summer, the Attorney General told the legislature, "You know, I don't have the kind of resources to go out and enforce this. I don't have enough enforcement officers. Mm-hmm. So you better deputize the lawyers to go after companies that violate this new law." And therein lies the rub.
Yeah.
They created a private right of action. That means they created a automatic...
Well, they created a new predatory system.
Well, yes, exactly. So ambulance chasers, who ordinarily look for victims to to go after and sue folks...
And look for and look for... what's the word? The class action lawsuits.
That's right, and class action lawsuits are also permitted in Maine.
Yeah, yeah. Hold on to that thought. We'll come back. We're going to talk a little bit more about what this might look like in your state and why that could be a problem for you, or could be a problem for you if you live in Alaska and you're trying to do business in Maine. Why this is important. 20 till. Stay with us. We'll be right back with Steve DelBianco. No matter what the people say. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you for checking it out. I hope you'll use it to your advantage. We built it just for you. Lots of good stuff there for your small business to help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful, whether you're a startup or whether you've been in business for a while. We've got lots of things there that you can read and listen to. You can ask questions. Check out my blog. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blassingame. Steve DelBianco is our guest, folks. He's the president of NetChoice.org, which is a companion organization to Association for Competitive Technology, which is ActOnline.org. Steve, NetChoice was the organization that you went after Maine with, right?
That's right.
And now you sued the state of Maine to get them to cease and desist making the enforcement of a law to not prey on teenagers to prevent that from becoming something that any attorney in Maine could file a suit on.
That's right, and any attorney in Maine was given the cash register of statutory damages. That means that the law, which went into effect September the 12th, would have given any attorney who sued any company anywhere in the country for collecting information from a Maine teenager without verifiable parental consent could recover.
How would they find this? How would they discover this?
Oh, it's interesting. You know, the attorneys we're talking about are ambulance chasers.
Yeah.
So they need to find victims. And I mean, I even made a statement to the judge that we needed to stop this law, or the ambulance chasers in Maine would just follow the yellow bus home from the local high school to find their next crop of plaintiffs. Because any teenager who simply signed on to WebMD to learn about acne medication, went to a college to sign up for information, decided to jump into Xbox or online gaming, all of these activities where they offer individually identifiable information would have constituted $250 to $750 automatic paycheck for these attorneys.
Mm.
They got to recover all of their attorney's fees, and they could do all this without showing any harm at all to the teen. So that's strict liability with statutory damages, and that is the perfect storm, the kiss of death for a state law, and the precedents would have been sweeping. Not only would every business in the country that did business with Maine teenagers be affected, but we really worry that the other 49 states would follow suit, try to follow the Maine example, and do similar statutes in their states.
So do you feel that what has happened will instead become the precedent?
Well, I hope so. The outcry from civil rights groups, the colleges, the newspapers, really made it clear this was about freedom of speech, guarding our First Amendment rights, not just about interstate commerce or whether this was overly broad.
But can't you see, Steve, where parents would say, look, we need to figure out a way to protect our children, and this was one of those steps?
You know, what if you try to
empathize. You've got teenagers.
I sure do. And the good news is that before my teen does anything that spends any money, I get intimately involved at the provision of a credit card number. So it's very easy for me to be parental consent when they're spending money online. But what I'm not trying to do is to govern each and every site that my son signs up to receive information and work on. He's 17 years old. And when I do want to supervise him, I understand that there's no way online companies can verify who he is. So if you pass a law requiring verifiable parental consent and age verification, you've also got to give an ID card to every citizen in this country.
Mm-hmm.
An ID card that somehow can be read by the computer.
Right.
So you don't lie about how old you are. Someone else doesn't lie about whether she's my mom.
That's not practical.
We're not there yet, Jim. And if we if we were, you can consider laws like this. But don't assume that because you pass a law that eBay is going to be able to figure out whether you have parental consent to buy that item.
Mm-hmm.
Not going to happen.
So is your lawsuit, is it stuck? I mean, is it the law of the land now, or is it still being debated? What's the deal?
The good news here is I traveled up to Bangor, Maine on day after Labor Day for a hearing with the judge, and fascinating hearing because the Attorney General already agreed that this law has constitutional problems, violates the First Amendment, and she promised she wouldn't enforce the law. That's pretty good, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the legislature, the President of the Senate and the Speaker of the House, both wrote a press release saying that they're going to revise the law as soon as they get into session. So that's two strikes. You think we're done. But no, because if the law were allowed to go into effect on September the 12th, it would have empowered these attorneys, these ambulance chasers, to go after companies. So we had to go to Bangor, Maine, and argued in front of the judge that he needed to stop these attorneys from bringing lawsuits. And the judge wasn't inclined to just sort of bar unknown plaintiffs from bringing suits, so instead he issued a very strongly worded order where he said that any attorneys are on notice that a private cause of action under this law would suffer from constitutional problems. And his court would see any case that's brought.
But that doesn't get it into the precedent scale.
You're right.
For other states.
You're right. The precedent here is that it was declared, for all intents and purposes, as unconstitutional,
right,
and was a bit of an embarrassment for the Maine legislature, the Attorney General, and the governor. So maybe that's the part of the precedent that I like.
Yeah, yeah. So where do you think it's going to go from here?
I've got a meeting in 3 weeks in the state of Maine and Augusta to work out a way to fix this law with legislators, and we'll do our best.
And folks, when you support netchoice.org, when you support actonline.org, as I've been encouraging you to do over all these years, this is what you're getting for your money. This is what you're getting for your support and for your encouragement of these guys. They're out there doing this work when you and I don't even know it needs to be done. And if you're a business owner today, you've got to have this kind of protections for your business so you don't step on a landmine online. And we can thank Steve DelBianco and his organization for that. We come back. I want to get Steve to talk about another topic. I want to talk about net neutrality. It's in the news these days. Again, stay with us. Tintel.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.